Okay. Well, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Some of you don't know me. I may have been a face for the last few months, but I'm Barbara Sloat, and I am now chairing Wellbeing Reimagined. I have a hard time with that title, but I'll get used to it. Do we have someone to who would recite the Pledge of Allegiance? I don't think we have anyone set. Well, I'd be happy to do it. Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Patty, would you do roll call, please?
I'm sorry. I am taking this remotely and I don't have my materials or my laptop with me.
Okay.
No problem. I can handle it.
Thank
okay.
you.
No. Okay. Linda Cardoza?
Present.
Meredith Chalemi?
Present.
Susan Doback? Sherry Geyer? Margaret Hong? Elizabeth Jimenez? Crystal Miles?
Present.
Patty Mouton? She's there.
Present.
Ann Murdy?
Here, present.
Phil Orland? Barbara Sloat?
Present.
Dave Sullivan?
Here.
Jerry Chang? Irene Martinez? Nicolette Arujo, sorry, and Susan Langley. You know what? We do not have quorum at this time, but the meeting can still proceed. We do not have any action items. Some members are joining, so I will update the roster as members join the meeting. But you can continue with the agenda,
Chair. And Jerry is an attendee right now.
Oh, okay. I will move him over. And I see that Barbara's trying to join as well. But like I said, there's no action items. So you can go ahead and proceed with the agenda, Chair.
Okay. We don't have, or do we have any guests here today?
Me.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Is Frank Hernandez here for his Office on Aging update?
No, it doesn't look like he has joined the meeting at this time.
Okay. Well, now I would like to welcome Dr. Toby Wu, MD, who's a dermatologist in Brea and is affiliated with St. Jude Medical Center. She received her medical degree from Keck School of Medicine of USC and has been in practice for more than 11 years. Dr. Wu, welcome.
Thank you. Is it my turn now?
Yes, if you okay. would like.
Okay, so I do have a PowerPoint.
You can share your screen.
I can share my screen through Zoom, right?
Yes. So, so down at the bottom, you should have a green icon that says share screen.
Yeah, you know, I have to, apparently I have to give it permission. Here we go. I need to give it permission to do it, apparently, which is
While Dr. Wu is working on that, would it be, Meredith, a good time for me to talk about the ground rules? Okay. This is, you know, a friendly reminder to all of you on the committee that our committee's discussion today is being recorded. And we have come up with some ground rules for a productive discussion in our meeting today. There are many topics of interest to seniors. Our role is an advisory body to the Orange County Board of Supervisors on matters affecting seniors. And as such, the topics discussed in our meetings are those topics that are within the purview of the board. Topics that do not fall with this area of responsibility are best left to be discussed at other organizations. So everyone's invited to participate. You may be asked to share what you think, or I may ask for comments from those who haven't spoken. It's always okay to pass when you're asked to share a comment. No one or two individuals should dominate a discussion. If you have already voiced your ideas, let others have an opportunity. When you speak, be brief and to the point. One person speaks at a time. Refrain from side conversations. Pay attention to the person speaking. If you think you will forget an idea that comes to mind, write it down. Listen to and respect other points of view. Do your best to understand the pros and cons of every idea, not just those you prefer. Seek first to understand, not to be understood. Ask questions to seek clarification when you don't understand the meaning of someone's comments. And we would like to observe this because it'll just make it a much better meeting, a shorter meeting. And I think that we'll all really benefit from them. So, Dr. Wu, are you ready?
I'm ready. Yes. Perfect. Okay, can you all see it?
Yes.
So, I kind of went towards the avenue of what patients come to me and ask me about as opposed to general skin care, because usually that's very specific to each person individually. So I'm just calling this dermatology for mature adults. The majority of my patients are probably over 50 years old. So again, my name is Toby Wu Kuo. I'm technically hyphenated. So in my office, I go by just Dr. Wu. And if you see me like at Ralph's or anything social, I'm Toby Kuo or Mrs. Kuo. Board certified with the American Board of Dermatology. And I'm a fellow at the American Academy of Dermatology. And like you already mentioned, I'm with St. Jude Heritage Medical Group and affiliated with the Medical Center. And actually I've been in practice now for 17 years, not 11. So much older. It's not forwarding now. I just have to do it this way. Okay, so. Oh, sorry. A little bit about me. I was born in New Jersey, moved to Orange County at the age of about 4 or 5, lived in Fullerton till 3rd grade, and then moved to Villa Park. And I graduated from Villa Park High School, where my daughter is now, with Crystal's son. Received my bachelor's from UCSD, then, of course, my MD from USC Keck. Stayed in LA for my internship in internal medicine, and then completed my dermatology residency and was chief resident at LA County USC Medical Center. I have no conflict of interest. And so basically people come to me usually in the first or second visit and say, hey doc, I have all these new growths. So what's normal, what's not normal, and can they go? So we'll talk about what normal ones are, what are some concerning signs or symptoms. We'll briefly talk about the most common types of skin cancer, the UV radiation and sun protection. If you have any questions about like skin care specifically, you know, I'm happy to answer those. Most common one is going to be the seborrheic keratoses. Most of us start getting these in our 30s and then we just accumulate them. Classically, we describe them as stuck on appearing. So it almost looks like you can take your finger and scrape it off. Borders are also very sharply defined. Colors can vary, which is the scary part because people will walk in thinking they have a melanoma on the back because this thing is black. They can also be flat or raised. They can have different textures. Some are warty and rough like this one, and some can be much more velvety. Oftentimes they're confused with moles and sometimes warts. And some people actually are successful at scratching them off, but I don't recommend that. So examples, and you can kind of see the variability. These on the upper left have more of that warty appearance. These are flatter. These look like condyloma or warts. And then if you look at these little black balls in here, these are actually keratin cysts or horn cysts. And those are basically very classic features of them. And then these cherry angiomas. So people all of a sudden look down and they see this huge flurry of red dots. They're just usually firm and bright red. They're usually asymptomatic, but they can be blue or purple. And so some get kind of dark and look almost black. Most of them are small, about 2 millimeters in diameter, but they can go up to about 1 centimeter. And then around age 40, that's when they start to really show up. For the cherry angiomas and the seborrheic keratoses, it's kind of genetic how many you're going to get and which ones you're going to have predominantly. And then skin tags. Most people get them, most people hate them. We see them in areas of rubbing. So it'd be the neck, under the arms, between the legs and the groin. And patients will ask, does the tag away that I saw on TV work? Feedback from those patients are that they will work on maybe 30% of them. The thing you need to watch out for is to not damage the underlying skin. They can be easily removed in the office, so that's always an option. And then other benign skin lesions that I see a lot that people wonder about, epidermoid cysts, it's the blackhead that just keeps giving. It always comes back. They ultimately need to be excised, so that's something to talk to your doctor about. And then some people get all these little yellowish pink bumps all over their face, and they're called sebaceous hyperplasias. We see it a lot with more oily skin, with rosacea prone skin. The good news about these is that people with these also tend to have fewer wrinkles. And then these are dermatofibromas, and the typical story is, oh, I think I had an ingrown hair or maybe an insect bite and it healed like this. It's not technically a scar, but it feels a little bit like one. And they have these features where if you squeeze them, they dimple, like right there. And then solar lentigines, sunspots, obviously brown spots from the sun. We generally won't get them if we've had no sun exposure. So if you look at your buttocks versus your face, it looks very different.
Call from Dr. Dick.
Who? Okay, so, I don't know if anyone has a question, but So skin cancer, if you guys didn't already know, it is the most common cancer in the US and the incidence just keeps rising. There are more new cases of skin cancer than cancers of the breast, colon, prostate, and lung combined. 1 in 5 Americans and 1 in 3 Caucasians will develop skin cancer in their lifetime. Approximately 9,500 people in the US are diagnosed with skin cancer every single day. I personally will diagnose probably 10 or 10 different cancers, not necessarily on 10 different people. And over 5 million skin cancers are diagnosed annually in the US. And so that is a huge healthcare burden of over $8 billion. And those numbers actually may be low. So these are the most common kinds, the basal cell, the squamous cell, and the melanoma. And I just kind of briefly talk about them real quick because these are the most common kinds. So basal cell carcinoma is the most common form. They're very rarely a threat to life, but they will be locally invasive. So they will grow and kind of locally eat away at anything that's in its way. They come in different types as well. So this one up here on the upper nose next to the eye is your classic basal cell carcinoma with the pearly borders, central depression. And if this were allowed to grow, it would usually ulcerate in the middle. This is a pigmented version. So similar to this, only it has pigment and that's why it has the black. Some people will come in with something like this saying that they've been treated for eczema or ringworm, and this is actually a superficial basal cell. And then beware of a waxy scar when you don't remember any sort of trauma, because there are morpheiform basal cell carcinomas that will be very, very subtle. And people will get them on the eyelids. So if you have an erosion or just an irritation of the eyelid that recurs in the same place every time, you might want to get that checked. And then also beware of the pimple that just never seems to go away or heal and comes back in the same place every time. Okay, squamous cell carcinomas. Probably the second most common form of skin cancer. These are a little bit more symptomatic than the basal cells. So basal cells, we don't normally know they're there unless they bleed. Squamous cells, people will report pain, a little tenderness, sometimes itching, but usually tenderness. Some of these have a higher risk of metastasis, so we will classify them into low risk and high risk. When they grow little horns like that, we call them cutaneous horns. Also be careful of the lip that doesn't seem to heal. Don't just assume you have dry, cracked lips if it's the same area that's always kind of breaking down. And some will grow like this, which is a keratoacanthoma type. They grow very, very quickly. Whoops, sorry. They may go from zero to this in 4 weeks. We see them a lot more in immunosuppressed, particularly transplant patients. So transplant patients, I typically will actually have come in every 3 months for a check. And then actinic keratoses. So these are considered precancerous and usually to squamous cell carcinoma. A lot of people will come in and think that they just have very dry, flaky skin on their face when in fact it's all actinic keratoses. So they don't go away with just moisturizing. The risk of progression to squamous cell carcinoma is relatively low, somewhere between 10 and 15%. And the average length of time is about 2 years. So we'll see this on the face, the ears, the scalp, just in the chronically sun-exposed skin. Back of the hands are very common as well. And then melanoma. So melanoma is, you know, the scary one. It is actually the most common cancer in the 20s, or the ages 24 to 29, and the second most common cancer under age 30. The second most because childhood cancers are different. And then more statistics, one person dies every hour from melanoma in the United States, and only one blistering sunburn as a child doubles the risk of melanoma, not of dying. Any exposure to tanning beds are problematic and can increase that risk by 75%. So if you were to come into my office for the first time for a skin check, I will typically ask those questions. Have you ever had a blistering sunburn, and have you used tanning beds in your youth? So what do they look like? I don't know if you've all heard of ABCDEs. So those are things that we look for when we're determining what the risk might be. A stands for asymmetry. B is for border irregularities. C is for color variation. D is diameter, which I don't really like because you can certainly develop a melanoma smaller than 6 millimeters. And evolution, so change. And the change could be visual, it can change colors, it can change size, it can change just on one edge, but also change could include sensation or bleeding. So itching, pain, new onset bleeding, those are all changes. These are more examples. This started on this left upper quadrant area. This started from a sunspot. So those can over time evolve. So seniors do need to be aware that if they've been told something was benign in the past and it's just a sunspot, if they start changing, they should have that checked. This one is scary. It's just a pink patch. You know, I would biopsy it, but most of us would probably have basal cell as our first diagnosis. This is an acral lentiginous melanoma on the bottom of the foot. One thing that I always recommend is for people to do self-checks, whether or not they've had a history of skin cancer. And the self-checks would include between the toes and underneath the feet. I found one underneath the little baby toe only. So you had to actually physically lift up the toe to find it. This is a nodular melanoma. This is how it started. It grew as a ball. And this can also be amelanotic, meaning just pink or red. So UV radiation, we're going to talk about this obviously because this is the primary cause of most of our skin cancers. So the International Agency for Research on Cancer has listed UV radiation as one of the most cancer-causing agents for humans. UVB causes the immediate sunburn as well as skin cancer. And UVA is what's causing the premature aging, so the wrinkles and the sunspots. It can also suppress the immune system and cause cancer as well. So 95% of the UV radiation is UVA. And UVA is not blocked by ozone clouds or glass. So that one's an important one for us. Sun protection, Some seem obvious, seek shade, beware of the reflective surfaces, you know, sand, water, snow, we all know that. The concrete, we probably should be more aware of as well. Wear a hat, the baseball caps are not sufficient. You want the wide brim to protect your face, neck, and the ears. And if you saw in the photos, a lot of cancers or precancerous lesions begin on the ears, and we get a lot behind the ears as well. Clothing, loose fitting, dark or bright colors with tightly woven fabrics. So your average white t-shirt is only an SPF 4 or 5. Sunglasses, the bigger the better. It's also more physical coverage and you want to look for UVA and B, SPF tinted or SPF lip balm, and then UV window protection. You can actually get now a clear tint for your front car windshield that has the broad spectrum UVA and B. You just need to specifically request that it contains that. It's a little bit more expensive, but I think it's well worth it. Keeps the car a little bit cooler too. And then sunblock sunscreen. So sunscreens, most of us know we're supposed to apply in 15 to 20 minutes before sun exposure. You definitely want to reapply every 1.5 to 2 hours and anytime you come out of the water. You want to use more than you think. The studies determining SPF are testing a specific amount for a specific body surface area. So realistically, we probably only get about 1/3 to 1/2 of the number shown on that bottle. You want to choose high SPF with UVA and B. AAD, so American Academy of Dermatology recommends 30. I recommend 50. We're in Southern California, so. And sunscreen really should be the last line of defense. Hopefully you're wearing the hat, you're wearing clothing, you're in the shade, and also then the sunscreen for the extra. So sunscreens, we have chemical sunscreens and we have physical sunscreens. So the chemical sunscreens work by absorbing the damaging UV rays. So it actually is absorbed into the body. They typically will contain one or more of the following ingredients. Not all of them have the same spectrum. And so that's why you may see multiple in the active ingredient list. The avobenzone or Parcel 1789 actually has the broadest spectrum of all of them. They tend to rub in more easily, they're a little bit thinner, and they don't leave a white residue. They do, obviously, you know, I'm sure everyone's heard that we're finding some of these into the bloodstream. We don't know the significance of that at this point. The avobenzone has also been known to cause allergic contact dermatitis. Some of it may be photoallergic, meaning you only develop a rash if you go in the sun, but of course you're only using it if you go in the sun. So, and then physical sunscreens, they act more of a shield and they just deflect the UV rays. So zinc and titaniums are your physical blockers. They're also better for sensitive skin since they're not absorbed into the skin. They mostly just sit on top. They're a lot thicker and can leave a white residue. Generally, they're less effective though than chemical sunscreens. So there's a couple of reasons. They're almost like little beads or particles that are just covering your skin, and there can of course be gaps. So you need to apply more to make sure there aren't any gaps. Also, the spectrum isn't as broad. Zinc is more broad than titanium. Titanium has just a little bit of coverage of the UVA spectrum. Zinc has a little bit more, but not as much as the chemicals, sunscreens. And then patients go, well, what about vitamin D? So we do know UVB promotes vitamin D synthesis in the skin. It doesn't give it to you. It just starts the production of it. But you can also find it in foods, in fortified milks and cereals and oily fish. And when we started, you know, probably 2, 3, 4 years ago, vitamin D became the big thing to look for. And so we started testing most people. At that same time, there was also an adjustment in what was considered normal. So anyways, many people are found to be low, and even those that are in the sun a lot, you know, the golfers, the surfers, sailors. So there are a few reasons for that. Vitamin D production varies. It's decreased as we get older, with obesity, with smokers, drinkers, diabetics, certain medications. Also, the darker you get, the less likely you're going to be able to synthesize vitamin D. You're less efficient. And then the UVB levels will vary through the different seasons as well as in different climates. So it's just not consistent. Vitamin D from foods and supplements is just more reliable than production. So, and that's basically it. These are my references and credits for all the pictures I've stolen and borrowed. Does anyone have any questions?
Can we please have a copy of your PowerPoints, please?
Yes. Do you, I guess just let me know who to send it to.
You could send it to me and I would be glad to send it to the committee.
Okay, I'm sorry. And
Jenna Sergio, sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, so
I'll send you my email.
Okay, great.
And then you could respond to me.
I'm going to try to stop sharing. There we go. Oh, there we go. Okay. So Jenna, I'm going to send it to you and I'll get your email.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So anyone have any questions? I may not be exactly. Yes, Susan.
I had a question because it's a little bit of a promotion, but my son has a company called DermTech, which is a patch for melanoma. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, it's almost like it's like in lieu of a biopsy, right?
It is. And it's been, you know, proven to be very successful. And of course, cuts down on infection or anything that might be the result of a biopsy. So I'm just throwing that out there. A little Thank promotion.
You. For I know him. We actually haven't even tested them here, but it definitely cuts down on scarring.
Right. That as well. If you look at the website, dermtech.com, there's a lot of information there. And I have a good son. I will tell you, he has a good heart. So I can't say enough about it. And it seems to be 99%, you know, percent accurate. So there's not too many false positives. So and I think they're going to, you know, allow people to do it themselves at some point, you know, like a home test. And you send it, you get the results in 2 days. So it's good.
Yeah, Dr. Wu is on a pretty tight schedule because she's talking to us in the middle of her day. So if there are any more questions for her.
Dr. Wu, Dave Sullivan, one comment. years ago on this committee, probably 20 years ago, we had a dermatologist. I can't remember her name. But anyways, she said men are more likely to get melanomas because their ears are exposed versus women usually have the hair over it. And I played a lot of ball in the sun. So I immediately went to a kind of a pith helmet. But anyways, that was very helpful. And another thing, I'm 84 now, and I have a lot of stuff over me, and I've got a good dermatologist, so I know it's not cancerous. But I use aloe vera, which is 99% aloe vera, as opposed to the things with the perfumes and all that stuff in them. And I find that works fantastic on easing up on the spots and that type of thing. So that's simply that comment. Thank you. Oh, and a great presentation.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, aloe vera is, I love aloe vera. So yeah, I'll have, if people ask me what I really think about things like Moderna or whatever for scars, you know, honestly, vitamin E, aloe vera, those work just as well. Unless you have raised scars, that's a different story. But yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Wu. Great information, great presentation, and we look forward to getting your
the PowerPoint
pictures. You're right. It's my first time. I'm nervous.
All right, great. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye now. Okay, item number 7, chair items. New businesses are our committee goals. And and I am at a loss. Meredith, my major helper here.
One of the things that we want to work on is revisioning our goals to match what we're currently doing with the two master plan things. Our previous goals were about educational presentations, and we've switched things around to focus on caregiving that works and health reimagined and our recommendations for the SCAC workshop.
Okay.
So we probably want to submit a draft to Elaine and Jean to have our goals match what we're currently doing.
Okay, and do we have, I see we have a rough draft that you had at the last meeting in August.
And on our agenda is the old goals. So those are the goals that we need to consider rewriting.
Oh, okay. Okay, and same with the mission statement?
Yes, and Susan has some ideas for the mission statement.
Oh, okay, Susan, are you?
Oh my goodness, I don't have them right here. I didn't write them down, so I can't recall. If I find my emails, I might, if you come back to me, I might have them.
In fact, Susan, I think there was something that you had brought up about educate and communicate with Orange County professionals and residents regarding older adult health and caregiving resources and services.
I did. I wrote that. And then I really amended. I thought maybe that was too long, and so I came up with a shorter version. And Meredith sent me something that she worked on from what I sent her. And so that was kind of where we left it. And I just need to find that email and give it to you. So I'll try that.
Okay. Well, can we go into number 8, subcommittee reports and discussion? The Health Reimagine Committee, Casey Hung has left the committee. And so now we have Patty, Susan, and Crystal, who are the three people who are working on Health Reimagined. Do you have anything to report?
No, I don't think we do. And we haven't even selected somebody to replace Casey. So I think that's something that the three of us will have to talk about offline.
Okay.
That's acceptable.
Okay. All right. And then with the Caregiving Networks Committee, that was the subcommittee I was in charge of. And we started talking about it, but we really have not made any progress. And then Meredith moved upstairs to the executive. And so I called on me and asked if I would, work with the whole committee. So with Dave and Anne and Nicolette, and I don't know, we have not had a meeting this month. So that's something that we have to work on for next month, and someone who would lead that particular subcommittee. So that too is a work in progress.
Barbara, Susan put the suggestion in the chat.
Pardon?
Susan put the mission statement suggestion in the chat. Wellness enabled by communication, inspired by our service to OC seniors.
Oh, okay. All right. And anybody have any comments on that, or any anything to add to it? Any other ideas? Oh, you guys are not helping me today. It's my first time. Come on, give me a break. Okay.
Your ground rule says that you can call on people.
Oh, I can call on people. Oh, okay.
You did mention that at the beginning of the meeting.
I like
the mission statement as it is written in the chat. I think it's well phrased and succinct, and I think it's a great idea.
Okay. So
I also think it sounds really great. I think it communicates what we're trying to do, which is communicate to the Board of Supervisors because of our service to older adults in Orange County. So well done, Susan.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm fastly trying to write this down.
I'll email it to you. I'll cut and paste it and email it to you.
Oh, okay, great. Also, yeah, my technology is not fantastic either. So I'm sort of talking myself out of a job here.
No.
It'll get better, guys. It will get better. So, okay, and all right. So we now have announced item 9. I was told I had to say that. Announcements and roundtable discussions, all members. Anybody have anything they want to bring up?
Sherry Geyer has her hand up.
Oh, okay, Sherry.
Hi, Barbara, don't worry about it. You can't, just because you're technically challenged, you don't get out of leadership that way. But you're doing fine. I did sign up for serving on one of the, and I think it was the one with Patty Mouton, and I haven't heard anything back, but I did say that I would serve on a committee last meeting.
Ah, okay. So Jerry, well, you have two committees that you can join.
Okay.
So we can talk about that. And since you're willing, we really do need you, and we need your expertise. And you've been around, you know the ropes. So be fantastic. May I contact you offline?
Absolutely.
Okay. Appreciate that, and I will do that.
Thank you.
Within the next 24 hours.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. All right, and let's see, we have any other announcements or discussion? All right, public matters. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Comments shall be limited to 3 minutes unless the chair sets different time limits approved by the council. Do we have any anyone wanting to address that?
So we did not receive any via email. We do have one attendee joining our meeting this afternoon. If you would like to speak during public comment, please raise your hand and I will unmute you. Or if you're calling in, you can hit *9 and I will unmute you. Seeing none, Chair.
What?
There is no public comment.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, if there are no public comments, then I think we can adjourn. And do we have to call for any kind of help me out here?
Nope. You as the chair, you can adjourn the meeting when you're ready.
Oh, okay. All right. So I call the meeting adjourned until October 20th, 2021. And again at 1 p.m. on Zoom. And thank you all. Thank you for your patience with me today.
Well done, Barbara.
It will get better.